Jesus ushered in the kingdom. We've been singing this morning. Let your kingdom come. You know, let your kingdom come here as it is in heaven. And he taught us how to pray that. But there's a line in that word that says, actually start here in my heart. And I think that's probably one of the most difficult places for the kingdom to come is into our human hearts. And we can have a concept of Christ as Savior, but the concept of Jesus as Lord, that's a master, that's a kingship title that Jesus has, is a choice. So Jesus can save you without you doing a thing. In fact, you can't do anything to get saved. He saves us. But living the kingdom life is the entire theme of the New Testament. Living the kingdom life. And Jesus wants us to understand that we've been given a level of royalty and authority to live in this life. And yet we struggle with that because we read the news and we watch what's going on in the world and we don't understand that his kingdom has already come in and broken in and wants to increasingly have influence in our lives. So that's what we're going to be unpacking as a launch pad into that this morning. I'm going to unpack a parable from Matthew chapter 25. It's Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God, and he's also speaking what does this kingdom look like? What does it mean to live in the kingdom? Jesus is not going to talk to us about, you know, how to get to church early or how to dress appropriately for church. He's talking about how to live your and my life in this kingdom that he asked us to pray. Let it come. It's already come. For those of us who understand that, we now get to live in this kingdom in the here and the now. And so Matthew 25 from verse 14, I'm going to just read it. It's to verse 30. I think it'll come up on the screen. There we go. He's talking about it being the kingdom. Living in the kingdom will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. Incidentally, talents here is not your skills and abilities. It's a weight of precious metal, be it gold or silver, that had huge monetary value. Okay, so it's not your skills and abilities. Unfortunately, the English word translated gets confusing, but it's not talents, as in my abilities. To another he gave 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with him, and then made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came. He came back to settle accounts with him. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. 5 talents, incidentally, wasn't a little bit of money. It wasn't like a week's wage. This was like a year or two's wages, as Hadrian said, relating to Peter. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who also had the 2 talents came forward, said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, notice this, he said exactly the same words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. You can almost hear in his tone. Here, have it back. But his master answered him. Now this is Jesus telling this parable, eh? It's a picture of the future, but it's also a picture of what we've been left with and entrusted with. He says to him, you wicked and slothful servant. You know what a sloth is? It's one of those animals that hang in the bush and they just don't move. They're lazy. Jesus is... in the story, alluding to the one who did this thing as being wicked and lazy, still a servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was owed to me in interest. So take the talent from him. He's now talking now to a wider audience. He says, take the one talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. There's some biblical principles of the kingdom. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Is Jesus confused? He said he doesn't have anything. If he doesn't have anything, how can he take away? Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. Now, just in case you think Jesus makes worthless people, he does not. Jesus sees every single person as extremely precious in his sight. But he's alluding to this person as someone who has not lived up to the worthiness of God upon his life. Cast him into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a pretty sight. He has a master going on a journey. He came, and then he said, I'm going, and I'm entrusting some of my property to servants. And he came back again to settle what had been entrusted to them. And so, as I said, a talent in this story. There's two things here. There's ability and there's talent. And I'm hopefully going to not make a big mess like I did on Christmas Day, was it? I've only got two boxes there. I had a few more. But there's a difference between ability and responsibility. Do not think that the talent that they were given was their ability. It says he gave to them according to the ability which they already had. And so the talent represents responsibility, as we'll unpack. You know, this parable focuses on your and our responsibility and accountability within the call of God on our life. That's what it's talking about. It's actually talking about work and productivity. If you believe Jesus saved you so that you can just sit back and do nothing, this parable is going to rattle your cage. Because Jesus is saying, actually, I'm entrusting some stuff and there's some work to be done. There's some productivity to be done in the kingdom. And what he entrusted to them was based on their abilities, was their responsibility. And so, yeah, what I'm going to do here is put ability over here, and hopefully this is going to work. Can you see the scale? There's like a scale. Maybe I should have made it a bit higher, but hopefully you can see that this is not balanced. Do you see that? It's heavily weighed on the side of the ability. In verse 15, it said, each according to his ability. I'll get to this bit right now. But what Jesus is talking about in giving the talents was based upon each according to his ability. Every single one of us has been given an ability. Not levels, by the way. The reason he chose 10, 5, and 1 does not mean that someone has more perfect abilities than I have. What he's saying is varying expressions, if we could put it like that, of ability. Not levels. And so you may be here this morning, you may not even be a Christian, but can I tell you that God in his common grace has given you abilities? Albert Einstein had an IQ of 212. Anyone close to that? God gave him that ability, regardless of whether he was a Christian or not. I don't know anything about his faith. William Shakespeare, for those of you who had to endure those poems at school, had an incredible gift with words and the English language. That was the ability that God had given those two men, regardless of whether they were Christian or not. God gives us an ability. Where's Jake? Sitting in the back. Jake. God didn't look at Jake and say, hey, I really messed up on the English language side of things. Jake, you listening, buddy? You have been given an ability that is different. And often what we do is we compare ourselves against someone else's ability and we think we don't have any ability. God has given you an ability regardless of your stance with regards to Christ. You have been given an ability. You don't have to go out and make it happen. You don't have to go and try and gain abilities. You have it. It's been placed inside of you by the God, the creator of the universe, regardless of whether you love and follow Christ or not. So, Jake, don't compare yourself to your dad. Don't compare yourself to someone else who can really read the English language and articulate poetry and have that thing. Know that God has given you an ability, just like Jake's responsibility is to find out what that ability is. Generally, if you're good at something, it's an indicator, it's a hint. And so nobody can actually say, I have no abilities. Do you see that? Nobody can say, I don't have any, I'm useless. If you say that, you are sinning. You are making a statement contrary to the creator of yourself. You have different abilities. Not everyone has the same ability. It's different. And it's not levels of ability. It's different expressions of ability. This parable tells us that everyone has already been given ability. It's not something that you must still wait for to receive. You might need to go about investigating and finding ways of expressing it, but your ability has already been given to you. You get that? A few points about abilities. Don't compare yourself to others, but be willing to get better at using whatever ability you're aware of right now. Don't compare yourself, but be willing to use your abilities and to get better at them. Don't say I have no abilities or think too lowly of your ability. That's contrary to biblical understanding, to God's creative design. Don't think that your ability can never be used. Imagine going for a job interview. Joseph. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Okay, what are your skills? I can interpret dreams. He became the vice president of the most powerful nation at that time. Don't say I can't be used by God because, you know, I've got this ability. God can use you in your ability. Another thing is don't think too highly of your abilities than you ought to. Romans 12 verse 3, look what it says. I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Don't be a little bit chatip around your ability to do something really well. He's saying be sober. You know what? Actually, I have some weaknesses. I'm not perfect, but like I do recognize I'm quite good at some things, but I'm not bloating myself, promoting myself, being arrogant and being prideful. That's what Paul is saying. Don't overly promote your abilities. Be sober. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned already. Be willing for others to give you feedback. If you can't hold a note and you want to be in the band and want to sing, are you open for someone to give you perspective? That actually your ability is not so great on the singing side. Do you know that that's difficult to do? But all I'm saying is, are you willing to receive some perspective and feedback? You may not necessarily agree with him. Sometimes you need to persist. But if repetitively, person after person after person starts to tell you that, are you willing to receive that my ability is not in the singing front? I remember a guy a couple of years ago came to me and says, I've got a sermon I want to preach. And I looked at the rest of his life and his character, and I said, hey, just plug into your life group. He got offended and never came back. I didn't say to him anything about his quality of preaching. I just looked at his character. And when that happened, it showed what was in his heart. I'm not giving the microphone to someone who's going to preach with that in his heart. He wasn't willing to receive that his ability may not have been yet in the preaching front. Yeah, I want to speak to us that are already Christians. Are you willing to call out an ability in another person? Now we start talking about kingdom living within the local church, where you're rubbing shoulders with different people and you're observing and seeing different things. Not just saying, hey, listen, you can't sing, you can't hold a note. That you got to do gracefully. Yes, graciously tell them they can't hold a note, they won't be singing. But are you willing to call out something when you see it and observe it in another person? Are you willing to say to them, actually, your ability will be helpful in a team? If someone comes and says to you, actually, I've observed and seen, you are extremely hospitable. You would be perfect on the welcome team. Are you willing to receive some perspective from another leader that says, I can see an ability, I think you should channel it? Would you consider channeling your gift, your ability, into a certain team in the life of the church? Are you open to that? Would God tap you on the shoulder through another person in the life of the church? Huh. I only listen to God the Father. What about Jesus, the commander in chief, the king? Would you listen to him? Peter, put out into the deep. Would you be willing for someone else to recognize an ability that wants to be released, wanting the life of God to come, or you're going to hold back, shrink back, and as we'll see now, hard? Some people believe that these abilities refer to your natural talents. Well, in that case, Elon Musk would be bringing glory to Jesus if all he did was just bring his natural talents. I do believe it includes your natural talents, your abilities to a degree. But we're not defined by what we do. Some believe that this is referring to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To some was given the gift of prophecy, to the some serving, to some teaching. And we can't say, oh, well, look, I've got a teaching gift. I'm not going to serve. You get it? It's like, actually, I'm not going to work and provide finances for my family to support my family. I'm just going to prophesy. And you go around just being the prophet that prophesies. But you don't work, you don't put food on the table, you don't love your wife, your whole family going down the tubes. Does it refer to the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I do think it's included in our abilities. Some believe because of the talent and the reference to money, it's all about financial well-being. As long as we make lots of money, we must be pleasing God and using our abilities. We're bringing glory to Christ. Well, in that case, Jesus would never have brought glory to God. He had nothing, absolutely nothing. I do believe God wants you to utilize and become wealthy. His definition of wealthy. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses. Do you know that that word power is the exact same word as he gave according to their ability? So yes, they had an innate ability. There was something that God had created them with inside of them. But there's also this ability that you receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witness. Do you see that, you know, unless Elon Musk is actually preaching the gospel, is he actually bringing glory to Christ just by being extremely wealthy and using his gift at making business money? No. Do you see that? I do believe God actually does gift individual people to generate wealth and to be extremely good at business. There's nothing wrong with that. But it must be used in a way to bring glory to Christ. And it can be. To be my witness. Now we talk about this responsibility thing. So I'm going to put this here and hopefully we're going to get this right. Gee, look at that, eh? Actually, Proverbs speaks about weighing. God weighs. We like to count, eh? We like to measure my ability against your ability, my bank balance against your. God doesn't, he's not interested in everything that. He weighs according to what you were given. And at the end of the age, every single one of us are going to be weighed according to how we responsibly utilize the ability that God gave. Undeniable. When he called these servants, 25 verse 14 and 15, a man called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1. These are the talents were the levels of responsibility given according to the abilities that they had. Here's the thing, is God doesn't give you a tiny bit of responsibility when he's gifted you enormously. He gives, that's what the world does, by the way. You know how that guy who should never have got that promotion, he gets the promotion. God never promotes you out of your disqualification. He promotes you according to the abilities that he's given you. And this is why this thing here is weighing in God, it weighs. This is called the anointing, by the way. When we start to take responsibility for the abilities that God has given us, this is operating in our anointing. when he called these servants, do you notice that? He entrusted his property to them. He gives them something according to their ability. God gives a responsibility according to your level of ability. And so the talent represents this responsibility. You and I have been given a weight of responsibility according to the ability that we already have. If Einstein became a Christian, he would have been given 5 talents, soma rate. And God would say, listen, I've gifted you with this incredible mathematical and scientific knowledge and abilities. I want you to use it within the world environment to bring glory to my name. Not to make your own name and to publish your own journals and to become the greatest and the best and the biggest. I want you to use that ability to bring glory to my name. With that comes a responsibility, a huge responsibility. Same with William Shakespeare. Same with anybody that has a high level of ability. Expression of ability comes a high level of responsibility that comes with it. This is what God does in his kingdom. And so talent represents the measure of responsibility. Talent represents the measure of responsibility of using your abilities to bring glory to Jesus. This is the anointing. And so to operate in your anointing is to take full responsibility for the abilities that God has given you. To operate in your and my anointing is to take full responsibility for the fullness of the abilities that God has given. Now we begin to operate. This is operating in the anointing that God gives us. That's operating outside of the anointing. Just going to be a bit ambidextrous here. Do you see this? Here's the thing about the anointing. It's on loan. It's not yours. He gave them something and said, I'm coming back to settle. I'm coming back to settle accounts. This is what Jesus does. When you understand that you've been given the eternal life of the kingdom of God, he's coming back to see how you have stewarded that kingdom, eternal life. That's what he's telling in this parable. He says, I came on a journey. I'm on a journey. Actually, it says, a man went on a journey. He's on the journey. He left some stuff, and he says, I'm coming back to settle accounts. 1 Corinthians 3:23 says this thing, you are Christ's. So if you become a Christian, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to yourself. You are Christ's. You belong to Christ. He has entrusted his life of the kingdom through the Holy Spirit into you. You belong to him. You are Christ's. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You see, this is what it means to understand living in the kingdom is actually, I don't just get to live for myself. I don't just get to live to do whatever I want to do. I belong to someone. I have been purchased and bought. I belong to God, and I have a responsibility to utilize all the abilities, that God has given me to live in the anointing. So that one day when he comes back, I will be weighed. And like Daniel says to King Nebuchadnezzar, you've been weighed and found wanting. Actually, those two, the ten and the five, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been weighed and you've been faithful. You have taken responsibility for the abilities that I've given you. You have been responsible. Here, I'm going to give you even more. Talking about eternal life. If you think you're going to sit around in the heaven and play a harp for the rest of eternity, his kingdom is coming and invading the earth. His kingdom is coming and invading my life. The responsibility that I take with my abilities and the call of God in my life will determine how I'm going to turn out on the weight of the weighing when Jesus Christ returns. And so that money never belonged to the person to whom it was entrusted. How much of our living God doesn't want you to be poor in a church mouse, a beggar, and have absolutely nothing for the rest of your life. He wants you to experience his kingdom invasion into our lives. But let me tell you, it's going to wrestle with your heart. And so these servants have been entrusted with the Holy Spirit. The eternal life of the kingdom is not ours. We get to steward it. What Christ has done for us is a free gift that we receive. We have a responsibility to steward it. The thing about the anointing is also is it has limits. Some were given 5, some were given 2. But do you see that their responsibility, if the talent was their responsibility increased? 5 ended up being 10, 2 ended up being 4. And so this is a kingdom principle. If you're faithful with the little things that God has given you, he begins to entrust you with more. And so what's the key? Live within the limits of your anointing. Know what your abilities are. Be willing to explore them and get perspective and let people call it out and to hone it and to use it, but be responsible for what it is that God has entrusted to you. Here's the important thing is that anointing can be lost. It can be abused and it can be squandered. He who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. Friends, what this guy did is he hid his responsibility. He didn't hide his abilities, he hid his responsibility. He hedged himself. He was afraid of making a mistake. He was afraid of maybe failing. He was afraid to take responsibility. He chose not to steward what God had entrusted to him. And let me tell you this, he was motivated by an incorrect view of God. I knew you to be a hard man. How do you know God? If you had to say to people that come and ask, hey, what is God like? I know God to be a hard man, like a taskmaster. He's like a headmaster or the police constable. He's a hard man. That is going to affect how you live your life. You being lazy and slothful is based on your incorrect view of God as being generous, as being the one who has given it all. And so what he did with this responsibility that he was entrusted to was an indicator of his view of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God has given every single one of you agency. Can I just say this? You have the ability and the power to choose what you do with what God has entrusted to you. God will not force himself on you. He is not an angry headmaster. He is not a policeman. He is a loving father, but there is a king. And if you choose to allow the kingdom of God to invade you and you take responsibility for it, you start to walk in the eternal life that he has for you. You have the ability to choose. You know that saying, if you want something done, ask a busy person. You know why? If you're young here and you've just graduated and you're about to start working, listen to this. It's because a busy person has already been faithful with what they've been entrusted for, and so they've been entrusted with far more, and so they're busy doing a lot of stuff. If you want something done, ask a busy person. Now, that's a positive sense, right? If you go into the workplace, be faithful with what you've been given. Don't believe, oh, this is a rubbish job, this is terrible, this working thing, they don't pay me enough money. Be faithful. Even if you want to volunteer, even if you volunteer, you're getting the experience, you're getting the abilities, you're growing in it. Do that. Be faithful with what you've been entrusted with. It's not about whether you're being paid or not. You do that. I'm telling you what God does. He says, actually, you've been faithful with this. You're known as one of the best employees in this company. I'm going to promote you. God promotes, not man. But there's a negative sense to this. It's because 20% of the hardworking people do 80% of the work, and leaders get burnt out. Can I just tell you, there's no place for slothful, lazy people, even in the kingdom of God, even in Connected Life Church. Because 20% of the leaders are doing 80%, well, 20% of the people, the leaders are doing 80% of the work. There's no place for that in the kingdom of God. There's no place for leaders to burn out because they're doing all the work and no one else is helping get the work done. And so there's this, it's positive and it's negative, but you have a responsibility personally given by God to take responsibility for the talents you've been given to bring glory to Christ. It's difficult in church because most people are volunteers. But the church grows as each person does its part. As each person begins to take a hold of this, as we go into this new warehouse and this new space, there's opportunities for new people, there's opportunities for serving, there's opportunities for new ministries to take place. As people take responsibility, the church begins to grow. Responsibility is meant to be shared by all, not by some. Blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing. This is Luke telling a similar parable as Jesus. What will they be blessed if they find doing, if they're dressed for action, if they're ready, if they're awake, if they're doing when he comes? Jesus is coming back, friends. He's coming back. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. Everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. Do you see that? And the one who, when he comes back, is found to be lazy, he's not acting, he's not willing, he's not being productive, he's not working in the kingdom for the king, will be receive a severe beating. It's not enough to know. Don't hedge your anointing. Don't hide it away. Don't protect yourself because you might get hurt or you might find that the responsibility is a bit too much. God gives responsibility according to the abilities that you have. I always say this. When a leader asks you to do something or to get involved or to consider something, do you say, no, I'm going to pray about it? Or do you say, yes, I thank you for your wisdom and seeing something in my life. I'm going to pray, and if God says no, I'll let you know. I'm telling you, this kingdom living is the person who says, thank you, God, you're speaking through that leader, asking me to do something because they see it in my life. I'm going to enter into that thing, and hey, if my capacity runs a bit low, I lose my job or my family, and I need to take a break, I can do that, but I'm not going to just say no, I'm going to pray about it. You don't need to pray about it. In God's kingdom, you have to choose to be a loser. Is it on the screen? In God's kingdom, you have to choose to be a loser. It's a choice, friends. As we go to the rest of this year and we talk about all the opportunities that we have to use this tool for the kingdom of God, are you going to take responsibility for something that God has already given you? Maybe you don't see it yet. Other people see it. Will you take responsibility? Jesus goes on and speaks to this one who hid it in the ground. He says, wicked and slothful servant, cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can I just say this? I'm not getting into the debate that they lose their salvation. These people were called by God and entrusted with something from God. They were saved. The weeping and the gnashing of teeth is about getting to the end of the age and realizing I lost my inheritance. I did not lose my salvation, but I lost my inheritance. My inheritance is the stuff that God has for me to do in this life, to live out this kingdom life, to bring glory to Christ. When I chose to hide it, when I chose to run away, when I chose to abdicate responsibility, you're going to be weighed. And Jesus is talking about the day that he comes back when he ushers in for all of eternity, finally his kingdom. Friends, the kingdom of God has already come. It is already breaking into our lives and into our circumstances in all of life. Your view of Christ as the king will determine how much you take a hold of that responsibility to live out the kingdom. Are you going to shrink away? Are you going to hide away? They suffered huge loss. Friends, salvation is by grace, but the anointing comes through struggle. You know, there's a verse that speaks about forceful men take hold of the kingdom. That's not talking about violent. Take it by force means I'm making forceful decisions in my life. I'm confronting my laziness. I'm confronting my insecurities. I have self-awareness, and I'm going to take responsibility to use everything that Jesus, you've entrusted to me to bring glory to your name. What's God tapping you on the shoulder with 2026? Would he? Would you be open to the King? Some serving team, serving Jesus, name on a roster. Maybe some could start leading a volunteer team in the life of this church. This is what it means, friends. This is the outworking of kingdom living. The church is the vehicle for the kingdom of God. As new people come and new life groups are required, are you going to hide the ability to lead and to minister and to steward a small group midweek if it's needed? Some of you need to commit to join a life group and to actually contribute and grow in the life group this year. Some of you, maybe it's to read your Bible and to actually begin to hear God for yourself. To put yourself in earshot of hearing God speak. I asked the life group leaders the other day, a whole lot of topics. This was one of them that came up. The people in our life groups don't know how to hear God. This is the King who has invaded this world, and he's entrusted us an ability to steward it. Would you be willing to read the Bible with the Holy Spirit so that God can begin to speak to you? I'm amazed. So many people spend so much time on social media, and then they complain about not being able to hear God. Come on, friends. Jesus has actually given you an ability to rule in this world. Are you a king? Are you living as a king? You're not the king, but you've been given an authority to rule. Are you ruling in life? Because let me tell you, when you begin to operate in this anointing, you will live as a royal child of God. You know that when I tithe, I give 10% back to God. I bring it to God. It's an obedience thing. But it's a statement that God cannot help himself respond to. Because when I give away the 10%, I bring it back to God. I sow it into the local church, wherever, the storehouse where I'm being fed and I'm growing and maturing. I sow the 10% into there. My statement is, God, I'm only living with 90%. I need you to break into my life. God cannot help himself but to break in and to help you. And yet so many people have this thing of, it's not in the law. It's part of the law. Now we live in a new covenant. It was never part of the law. It's a lordship. It's a kingship issue. I don't need your money, by the way. We've taken up the tithes and offerings already. Some of you, I know some of the life groups in this local church, every single person in that life group should be leading another life group. And yet there's this hiding, not taking responsibility, when God's wanting to usher in a whole lot of people into the life of this church. And we're going to hang on. Oh, God will just make the church grow. He will take away what you are not stewarding. Did you notice that? He will take away and give to someone else who is proving faithful. Do you want that for your life? I don't wish that upon anybody. He's not talking about you going to hell. You are going to lose your inheritance, the reward in the eternal life that God has already given to us. How you live now is going to determine a huge amount in eternity. Are you willing for God to tap on the shoulder? If you're not sure, Thursday night, 6:30, come. If you're an existing leader, you don't have to come. We're meeting you tomorrow night. But I've invited a whole bunch of people that I believe that I can see something of a call of God in terms of ability. But whether you're operating in this just yet, maybe not. Do I just hold back and wait for it to happen? No, I'm saying come to the meeting. Tell us you're coming, please, because we're going to give you a donut. I'd hate to have you arrive and all the donuts are gone. Just RSVP, come and speak to me after this meeting. Come, give me your name, I'll send you an invite. 6:30, here, to 8:00. And I'm going to unpack practically, because I don't have time to now, different ways that you can harness the ability that we just see a little glimmer of and take responsibility for it. And maybe then you need to take some baby steps. I've heard this over and over again. I'm not really a leader. I don't mind, actually. But can I say this? Everything in the Bible speaks about influence. God wants you to be influential. Whether you call yourself a prefect or a leader or the world standard of leadership, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. God wants you to be influential. He wants you to be influential with what he's already placed inside of you. It's already there. Come on the journey. Jesus is on the journey. Do you notice that? There's a journey. You don't have to have perfected and have arrived. He's looking for those who are willing to say, here I am, Lord, pick me. I'm available. I want to take responsibility. And he will use you. I can guarantee you, I'll give you your money back if he doesn't use you. Guarantee. I'm going to close with this. I spoke about God giving everybody abilities based on his common grace. But can I just say this? God's desire for every single human being is that you operate not only from a place of common grace, but that you operate from a place of saving grace. This saving grace comes directly from the cross. Common grace, you didn't have to do anything about it to be good at maths. But saving grace says, I recognize that actually I am a sinner like Peter, and I cannot do anything in my own strength, only what Christ has done for me on the cross, in my place, dying and being brought back to eternal life. The way God connects you back to himself is when you recognize, Jesus, you died for me, and I want to place my trust in you, that I can actually live for you, that I can actually use my life and my abilities to bring glory to your name in whatever shape that looks like. I want to commit myself to following you. And what Jesus does, he saves you. That's saving grace. He saves you. You don't have to do anything other than recognizing your need for Christ to save you. When we end this meeting, we're going to have coffee. You stay behind. We'd love to pray with you. If you feel like you need to respond to that saving grace that comes from the cross of Jesus, going to church, feeding the poor, being a good person, not swearing, not drinking alcohol, not having tattoos, not smoking, all of that stuff does nothing. God is not impressed with any of that. He's not undone by any of it too, by the way. You come to him freely and he saves you. But for the rest of us, once you're saved, there's a fight, there's a struggle. He wants you to engage, taking a hold of the things of his kingdom in your life. I'm so excited for this series. Jesus wants to help us understand what it means practically to live kingdom life.